I'm gonna lay down for a little bit before my parents come. I'm gonna read my book. And I was like, no.
No.
No, you gotta record. Mind you, it's on like every calendar I have too, to like make sure I don't forget. But the Monday thing threw me for a loop.
I know. Yeah, we're recording this on Monday. We normally record Tuesdays, but I have to go to a team building cooking class tomorrow.
Oh.
Which like a few other teams have gone to this place. Everyone says it's like amazing. But our colleagues from out of state, they're all flying in. So we have like meetings all week, and tomorrow we're doing team building. So I was like, oh, I can't record on Tuesday because I don't know what time I'll be home.
I literally looked at my calendar. I was like, why the F do I have a freaking client call at 4 on a freaking Tuesday? But here we are.
Here we are. And I know, so I told you that I was going to come over on Tuesday night to help you with the kids because Tom is traveling.
Well, once you said Ukraine, I was like, I'm just going to text Gina and be like, can you just make sure you could be here on Tuesday instead of any other day? And she's like, that's fine. So I was like,
Yeah.
perfect.
So I was thinking Wednesday or
No
Thursday,
worries.
but I have to go to this thing for work. So unfortunately, and it was sprung last minute because I was planning on working from home because Winston had a vet appointment. I had to rearrange a lot of things. But it's fine.
Here we are. So
Here we are.
literally, here we are.
Anyway, it's a Monday, so bear with us.
Well,
I'm actually really.
I got distracted because, okay, I mean, I don't mind talking. Oh, maybe I shouldn't talk because it's work related. I have to do something for work, and the thing I have to do is like is with somebody, and this somebody is just, not really present ever. So I'm like watching a response come through, and I'm like, that's all. That's just
Yeah, I love that. Well, I was gonna say, I'm excited to record this today because I think that, you know what? Okay, first of all,
I don't think
I don't
I'm
want to.
far off from like what my, there's just certain things
Well, because
that.
I was gonna say, talking to you earlier, I was like, oh, like Katie definitely gave this like 2 stars. And then I looked at your Goodreads and you gave it 3.5. So I was like,
Okay, so
okay, I feel
should
like
I
your
explain first?
complaints. Yeah.
Okay. So I started this. I did the audio.
Say
And
You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez, by the way.
I started the audio, and I would say, and again, it doesn't tell you percentages. So there was just like some time that went by. They were on their first date. I got to the point where she was leaving to go back home to California. And in my mind, I was like, I don't believe a lick of this. This was not like grabbing me. And again, I am all for instant attraction. I think that is a 100% thing. And I'm sure there's insta love out there too. But to me, and how my personality is, I'm not falling in love with you. I'm not getting in a vehicle by myself with a fucking stranger on my first date ever. Like, you don't know each other. I'm not getting in a car with you. If some guy jumped off a dock or a boat to get my phone that went to the bottom of the water, I'd be like, we've got some fucking problems here. Like, why are you like willingly jumping into a lake to be wet? And then said person doesn't even want to go home and change into warm clothes. You're weird. You are so fucking weird to me. So I had a couple things that were setting me off. I was like, I don't believe this.
I
You
do
are
want to say that the beginning, I think like the first like 10%, I was like I'm trying to think of like the right word, but I was a little like ooh, because like okay, we have to talk about it. If Rizan from ACOTAR series were a real person, like they multiple times in the first like couple chapters they refer to Xavier as looking like Rizan, and like I was like okay, like this is too cringe for me. Like
I don't believe either. You know what I mean? Like, who looks like motherfucking
But also, like, well, okay, I'm sorry. I love Abby. I think something that I love about Abby's books, and this has it, is that you can tell, like, she is like elder millennial. Like, she has that, like, her books are corny. Like, they are. I mean, I love them. So,
Same.
like, this is a compliment at the same time. They're corny, but they are like really like heartfelt and like deep. But the act, I'm sorry, like modern rom-com books, like there just shouldn't be reference to ACOTAR. Like.
No.
My cringe was like through the roof.
You can reference, and there are books out there that I've read that reference being a reader, what kind of book you're reading.
Yes.
They've referenced Spicy Pirate, but like, I'm all for that. But yeah, to directly reference ACOTAR, I'm kind of like, this is just.
My eyes were rolling. So, like, oh, he looks like, no, like, so shut up.
The first 20%, I was like, this is actually cringe. And again, I fully believe in instant attraction. I just wish that they had either met previously and like there was an attraction there and then they finally dated, but the strangers to like, I'm in love with you, basically, just didn't add up to me. And then yeah. Flip. Okay. So just sum it all up for like, I probably should give it like a 3-star when I'm really thinking about it. But I really, really, really liked the family aspect. If Abby Jimenez delivered a book solely off of, I mean, even navigating long-term relationship, like she's throwing out real life situations that a lot of people can deal, like can relate to. And I like the fact that it's targeting like an older market. Cause like these aren't 20-year-old kids who can just be like, fuck whatever I have going on. I'm going to get on a flight and move. Like you are trying to make rational, mature decisions. If he would leave his business when, like right when he was thinking about it, he would be in major debt. And no one wants to step into a new relationship with someone being like, I am so far in the hole. We're going to have a really rough start. Like no one wants that for himself either. Plus he kind of felt like he had something to prove. Like I think those are all smart qualities.
Yeah.
They really started to enjoy it. Once it was like a year into the relationship. So really mostly the back end when she's really starting to navigate family life, like she's calling out her family members about like the care for their mom. I enjoyed her aspect of dealing with her siblings and her mom more than the romance of itself. When I wasn't reading it, I wasn't thinking about it, nor did I want to get back into it. It took me a while to get back into it once I started back up. But I will say like the family aspect of the story, that captivated me.
Yeah.
The relationship until it hit a year mark. And then we started to have these relationship conversations that made sense. I couldn't stand it. Plus like the constant going back and forth of like, this just needs to end. I just need to like get him like, shut the fuck up.
I think that what she should have done. Cause I mean, I really like this. I like this a lot more than you did.
You did.
I gave it 4 stars.
I think that if I gave it 4 stars, then I should change my ratings. I didn't like it as much as you, so I should probably give it into it like a 3.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking for you. But I mean, we all rate our things differently. But I feel like Abby could have made this a really easy fix, in my opinion. Should have been they meet, like, you know, she brings her cat to the vet and there's an immediate attraction and he asks her out and she's like, hey, like, I would love to go out with you, but I just want to let you know that like, I'm moving in a few weeks. So like, this really can't go anywhere. And he's like, I don't care. Like, whatever. Like, there's like an attraction there. Like, whatever. They go on like for like 2 weeks. Like they go on their first date. They're like, wow, like whatever. And like, they keep seeing each other so that by the time she leaves, it's like, okay, like they've had this connection. Or she could have done it. She could have played it too, where like they go on a date. And she's like, oh, I'm like, and maybe, oh my God, I'm forgetting her name. Samantha. Maybe Samantha has to go back and forth and like with her mom, like a few weekends. And then it's like, you know what, this is too much. I have to move out there. And at that point, it's like now, like, okay, they're already in a relationship. Now they have to navigate like long distance. That would have made more sense because like, yeah, the insta love after like 2 meetings in 1 date. And then, like, trying to, I mean, I love that he's, like, obsessed with her, but
yeah.
I really needed to feel, I feel like it would have just played off better if I believed it more in the beginning. Like, I believed their love the longer I kept reading, but it just felt like a lot too much too soon.
And again, I'm sure people can easily raise their hand and be like, no, this happened to me. Like, I fell in love the first time I met someone. Like, no, that's great. But like, I just don't think she wrote it in a believable manner, to be honest with you. It just didn't, I literally sat there, like once they got, literally the minute she got on the plane and flew home, I literally stopped running for a second to pause and I was like, I don't fucking believe this. Like this took me out for a minute. Like I really had to like Like, you can't, you got to keep going with this. Like, you can't just stop.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I don't know. The diving off the fucking dock thing, I literally was like, no fucking way. If a man jumped off a dock soaking wet to grab my phone, I'd be like, you good? Like, thank you for caring.
I would go home with him for that, because I'd be like, you just saved me $1,200. I didn't have to get my hair wet. So that part, I'm like, oh, thank you.
Just, and then to stay in said wet clothes and be like, yeah, I'm all right. I'd be like, no, I don't believe this. No.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm like such a skeptic with that. I'd be like, nah, I no. No. Because if that was rolls reverse, I'd be like, yo, that fucking sucks.
Like, I'm oh, like, no, right. No, but if I dropped my phone in the water and we were about to get on a boat, and I was like, I'm going in there to get it. And he was like, don't, like, relax. Like, don't go in. Like, and he just went in with his shorts. I'd be like, oh, that's fine. Like, thank you.
See, maybe if you pitched it differently. Like, he just, like, stripped and dove. Like, no, what? Yeah. I don't know. Just to me, I was like, what are we, like, Little Fucking Mermaid over here? Like, like, is he coming up, like, flipping his hair back? Like, no, I don't believe it. For a
second. No, I could totally get it. And I knew going in that I'd seen, like, mixed reviews for this. So I feel like people are either, like, loving it or kind of hating it. And I think...
I just feel like... And again, I know when I was talking to you and Mary, you can make something kind of... Okay, I am not... I don't know how to be sexy. I don't have lines to save my life. But mm-hmm. I think there's a way that you can deliver kind of corny cuteness in a really... nice manner that could be in, like, taken back as a reader really well. And because a lot of stuff that there, how much stuff do we read that's like, this is kind of corny, but at the end of the day, it's just written so well that you're like, it doesn't even matter. Like, this is just, it's hitting, it's satisfying. This wasn't like some of the things that he was saying to her, like, oh, my girlfriend, you could write that to be not so cringe.
Yeah,
that was so fucking cringe.
Which normally I'm the one who, like, hates that. Like, I don't like pet names. And I was like, oh, no, I didn't mind it. And Katie was like, no, like, I was cringing, which is so funny because it's normally, I feel like it's normally, like, maybe it was the way that, like, I was reading in my head versus the way, like, the audio narrators were narrating it.
100%. I think it could have been the narrator.
Because I feel like in my head I was, like, thinking, like, he was like, okay, girlfriend. Like, it's, like, not, like, in, like, a sarcastic way. Like, when I'm like, okay, like, when I got married and I was like, oh, like, all right, husband. This is
what I like about...
listening. What we do, like, the different, yeah.
Because I, like, okay, so the narrator who does Promise Me Sunshine, I love the way she delivers the emotions, because I feel like she changes the way she says things, her pitches, everything.
Mm-hmm.
To fit what is, like, what's happening. And I've read, because we're doing Love and Other Conspiracies, I've read that. And now I'm listening to it, and I'm like, I'm really liking how she's delivering this. Like, she's fitting, like, this kind of quirky read and, like, nailing it perfectly in my mind. And so it's very interesting how a narrator really can kind of, like,
yeah. And this one was a duet narration. I sampled it just to kind of get a feel for it. And I feel like normally with the duet narration, it's better because I think it just, like, sounds better, like, the back and forth. But I mean, it sounds like that wasn't the case.
But I feel like it was very, like, okay. Like, they'd be like, you're my girlfriend. Pause. Wow. That's so nice. Like, it was, like, weird. Like, it, like, felt so very...
It didn't, like, mesh?
It didn't mesh to me. And this was actually one of the first two... Like, normally, I feel like anytime I listen to an audiobook, because I do sample first, I feel like more times than not, a lot of these authors are really being strategic in who they're picking, because they want people... Mm-hmm. to like what they're listening to, because at the end of the day, I feel like it impacts a rating. I just, like, they were good in their own. I think together, it just, I would have almost rather it being one. I think it would have been better. This was so cringe. Like, literally so fucking cringe. I mean, even, what else did I text you guys? Or texted you separately? I sent a novel one day, because I was like, what the... Oh, three dates. Three fucking dates. And the man claims he's kissing his wife. Again, I'm sure that it happens in real life. I think she wrote this so fucking corny.
Yeah. See, like, these things, like, didn't bother me, and they normally do, which is, like, why I think it's so funny.
I'm thinking about you. Ew. It's like the equivalent of eating ketchup. I'm getting warm.
Yeah, no, you definitely need to drop your star rating. Because when I was reading it, I picked it up and I feel like I just like, I don't know. I think too, because I read her earlier three books as well. Like, I think you've only read Part of Your World. Part. Yeah. This one reminds me more of like her earlier work. And I can't really explain why that is, honestly. It's just like a feeling that I had when I was reading it. I was like, oh, I know that her first book, people either love or hate. And I like when I was reading this, I was like, it's going to be just like the friend zone. People are either going to love this or they're going to hate it. I've always come out on the side of liking what she's written, but which is like so funny too, because I was looking at some of the reviews and there was like people who were like, this is my first Abby Jimenez book and I'm obsessed, like 5 stars. And then like a lot of people who like were fans were like, this is the worst book she's ever written. So I wonder too, like if you're familiar with her like work, if maybe people were just like, I'm not saying you, because I know that I think you just genuinely didn't like it. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if some people are just like let down by it and like that's why they're hating it, because they were just expecting more.
Well, I think that was
part I think coming off of Jess from the Summer, which was like everybody loved it. Your expectations are really, really high. And I was watching an interview with her, like while she's been on the press tour since the release, and she started writing another book. So a different book was supposed to come out this year. And she just like was having like trouble writing it. Like she just said like she needed to take more time with it. So the deadline was like, I guess, like coming up for when she would need to have a book done for this release. And like this idea came to her and she wrote it in like 2 months, like on the notes app on her phone or something.
I mean, to credit where credit's due, to do that in 2 months, and this is what you produce, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I know that she's still working on the other book, which I guess comes out next year now, which like now I'm really curious, because I'm like, why did it take you 2 years to write this? Like, what is it going to be about that's like really took a lot out of her that she kind of had to stop for a minute? But I think you can kind of tell that this was a little rushed, because I think if she would have had more time to sit with it, she would have picked up on some of the issues potentially and had more time to fix it and been like, okay, like here I need to maybe like have them spend more time together. And like, I just think it would have been cuter too if they got to spend a lot more time together in the beginning, because his friend group, like I'm very curious about them. And I think that they are like, some of his friends are going to get their own books, but I just wish we got a little bit more of that, because it seems like they are very important in his life, and then we only really get to see them like twice.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that, like, I mean, again, he really had no time to hang out with his friends. Like, this man worked himself off. Yeah, like
I will say pneumonia or something.
Yeah. I will say I actually really enjoyed the fact that they were both like financially struggling, and how they kind of had like more normal jobs, and like, you know, he's a vet, so he obviously makes good money, but he had to put himself through school and open a clinic, so he's in debt. And I was like, okay, we never read about a male main character who like has financial trouble and is like in debt. Like, we never get to see that. They're always millionaires and billionaires and whatever. So I kind of liked the struggle.
Same. I actually enjoyed the fact that they were long distance. You are trying to navigate that. Both of them, rightfully so, aren't going to be like, I'm going to move. Like, she's not going to leave her family and her mom at this time to try to
navigate.
And again, like, we'll talk about that whole aspect, I'm sure, because just, I actually think and like, I really enjoyed following through. It was really interesting to kind of see her, and whatever, we can dive into that. But like, I enjoyed that. And then the long distance aspect, right? Like, I think the next time you see each other, trying to find time to call each other. Like, and I can understand at some point you're going to be like, is this even worth it? Like, I get that. But like, and again, kind of what I said before too, the maturity level of, I'm in debt, I can't just quit my job up and leave this, leave that. And I'm with you. Like, I enjoy more people, especially our age group, we're all in some sort of debt.
Yes.
It's like so natural. It's so normal.
Yeah.
So his level is a little bit more extreme. Sure, he makes good money, but I can only imagine what those student loans cost, as I say, with the clinic itself and then payroll. Like, your overhead's got to be high. And then same with her. Like, you have a decent job, but like, California's freaking expensive. How much are you really making? And then mm-hmm. you lose your job. And again, that shit happens all the time. Like, people are offered severance packages all the time, left and right out of yeah. left field. So I'm with you on that. I think, like, the realisticness of it, it was there. Like, she delivered on that. My issue is strictly the relationship. Like, yeah. just the relationship. And the
I did like when he would come and visit. And, like, I liked the date scenes. And I liked how he was, like, so good, like, with her mom and, like, with yeah. his, like, with the family. Yeah, I think what you mentioned, like, how after they hit the year mark, you started to, like, really, like, buy into it more. And I feel like that's, like, yes. Like, I definitely think – I like, too, like, when he gets sick and she goes out there and – they're kind of like, okay, like, you can't keep killing yourself to come see me. Like, we might have to go 3 months without seeing each other. I felt like it was, I mean, it was very insta-love in the beginning, but I feel like it was a very mature relationship the longer they were together. Yep. Like, they communicated pretty well, and there was no third act breakup, which is not normal for Abby Jimenez. Like, they were like, we should break up, and both of them were like, we're not. Like, we know.
That too, like, the maturity of it. Yeah. Like, we both know we love each other. Like, let's just figure this out and we'll go from there.
You know, I appreciated that so much because I was like, oh God, like, what, one of them is going to be like, this is, I'm breaking up. I thought he was going to break up with her because he's like, she doesn't need to be stressed about me. Yes. Like, on top of everything else, like, it's for her own good. And then like something
happened.
Yeah. But that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And like, even the family aspect too, right? Like the steady decline of what she's experiencing with her mom. She mm-hmm. did kind of escape for a little while and like kind of came back and regretted almost being away for so long because her mom can recognize her siblings, but not her. I don't know. I really think I will say whatever Abby, I would have rathered at the end of the day, I would have rathered this outcome. If you're going to quote unquote kind of rush a book, I'm really glad she got the family life aspect. I think in my eyes, correct. Instead of the relationship
mm-hmm.
that could have went kind of bad.
I think we said this at the like end of last week's episode when we like kind of touched on this. Mm-hmm. This like felt more like a book about like family dynamics and caring for like a sick loved one more than it felt like a romance.
Yes.
The romance felt definitely like a subplot. And this was definitely more focused. I mean, like, Xavier had his childhood trauma too to work through, but this felt more focused on Samantha and her family and the dynamics of taking care of a sick loved one and how to navigate that and how it affects, like, each person differently, basically. Like, I think that was where this book was definitely the strongest.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you felt it. Like, even, like, what was it like when the mom was going through an episode in the kitchen and food and everything go everywhere? Mm-hmm. They already had an approval for a loan to do a home renovation, but they didn't want to create such change for the mom. And like, I could,
which is like very bad to do to somebody with dementia to do all of that. Yes. So, and
they do mention that, like, they do bring that up.
Yeah.
Like, I could feel in that moment that like hit the father. When he's cleaning it and he's just like, fuck it, and just starts ripping it up. Like, I can only imagine, like, I felt like I was like in his, like, I could feel his emotion. Like, I could feel him so just like wrung out from being tired. And you're on 24/7. You have no off. Like, you think maybe going to sleep is your off, but he's with his wife at night and she's up and she's still having these tantrums and. Is that even the right word for it, Teresa? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so your escape is work, and work isn't really an escape. So.
No.
Like, and when they start having those family meetings where the dad's like, I'm done. Like, she needs to go somewhere. And the kids are all kind of fighting with him. Like.
I was getting so mad at the kids. Like, the dad to me, like, I loved him so much. And I was like, your poor father. Like. Samantha, I think, is the only one who really understood and accepted him. Like, her sister did, too. The brother pissed me the fuck off.
Tristan was driving me batshit crazy.
He was driving me nuts, especially with how he was treating the dad.
Yes.
And I'm like, this poor man. And they're expecting him, to clean her, take her to the bathroom, like, do all these things for her.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. So we didn't have to put my dad in a home. We had two live-in nurses mm-hmm. that like kind of, it was one live-in nurse, but they went back and forth, whatever. I understand like not wanting to put your parent somewhere, but at some point, her needs, like they like succeeded like what anybody could give her at home at that point. And it isn't fair to like kill your dad. Like your dad's basically killing himself to take care of your mom. Mm-hmm. And I also know like as a parent, and I think that Samantha even says this, like mom doesn't want us to be like this to take care of her. Like this would not be what she wants. I think the dad says it too. He says something like that. Because like being a caretaker, it is like it's a 24/7, 365 job. And I don't know, like for me, if it was me, I wouldn't want my kids like
wiping my butt.
Showering me. That's why we ended up getting a caretaker too. And it's also like the human body, her mom wasn't immobile.
But dead weight is heavy.
We needed help because he was dead weight. But yeah, like he didn't want that for us. So like when Tristan was like being mean to the dad, I was like, you don't know what he's doing.
Well, and like I love when, I think it was Samantha actually shot back at him. She's like, you don't go to bed till like the middle of the night and you yet to offer to help your father, like help at night. And it's, again, I've never been in those shoes, but this poor man is like, you have to have some quality of life. And now you're ruining your family relationships as well. Like no one's talking right now. Grudges are being held. Like you lost your grandmother in the mix of this, which I was like, I actually at one point was like, this is just ringing Teresa right now. Like,
yeah.
Did Abby reach out to T?
No, seriously. I think this is kind of weird. I also think that's why I liked it a lot too. Cause I was like, she obviously did so much research.
Tons.
Because like every dementia case is different. So like there were things that I was like, oh, like this isn't like what we had to do or deal with. But a lot of it was like, especially like the episodes and the tantrums. Mm. Like luckily, like my dad's weren't, they didn't last that long, but it's because he declined a lot quicker than her mom did. But like he was really aggressive and he was like, you know, a bigger guy. So it was like a lot harder to do. My mom like had to call the cops on him a few times. But I was like, okay, like she's getting it right, because I feel like a lot of times like the Notebook and stuff, I'm like, that's like not what Alzheimer's and dementia looks like. I'm sure it does to some people, but normally when you get to the point where it's like end stages, that's, they're not just like la-di-da-ing around just like with like forgetful. It's very, it affects the entire body. And it affects obviously their ability to deal with emotions and everything like that, which I think she did a really, really good job portraying here.
Like you really felt, I felt like I was in the mix of it with the family mm-hmm. dealing with this also. And like, you do start to see the decline, like even hiding the jewelry, like in her own car. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like they tend to hide things. And
yeah, we had a lot of things that just like went missing.
Yeah. Like, and there are certain things that are like are ingrained in you. Habits that you do over years will never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the person's still there. Right. Like, and I think, again, I just really think she nailed that whole familial aspect. So again, at the end of the day, I have my serious qualms about the relationship, but I really think she completely nailed that dynamic. And again, that's the way it has to be. That's fine with me. I would rather her get that right than the relationship.
Yeah, because I was worried, because I was like, oh, like I knew going in, I was like, okay, if she gets like this part wrong,
It's gonna
piss me off.
Yeah.
Because I hate that. I'm like, if you're gonna write, I mean, again, like I probably read a bunch of stuff where the author gets something wrong, but I just have like
no idea,
no experience. So I don't know.
You've lived this firsthand. So
yeah, it's the same thing when I'm reading. I mean, not the same, but it's the same thing when I'm reading like a hockey romance. I'm like, this just is not believable. I was like, oh, like she almost got it like too right, and now I'm like. I was wondering, does she know somebody?
That's kind of like, I was like, wow, maybe she went through something similar. I mean, even
I know in her author's note, I think she mentions that she had people helping, like care workers, like memory care workers and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that she probably like maybe like knew somebody. Clear that she like did her research, and that I know she talked to care workers. to get it right. But I felt like really bad, like when like the grandma dies and how they like really threw the mom into.
I couldn't imagine. It like could bring tears to your eyes, right? Like,
yeah,
this woman has no idea what's going on. I'm sure. And again, correct me if I'm wrong. You might get glimpses of like you're okay for a second.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, that something's different, but you don't know, like, but you know, it's your mom. Like, could you imagine like all you want? Like, I don't know. Just like, it just,
fucking no, hits. I know.
It just hit. I was like, what the fucker? Like, this is,
no, it was really sad. But like, she had like some quotes too. Like, I thought mom's dementia was cruel, and it was cruel. It was a long goodbye, but no goodbye was just as bad, because I remember, talking to somebody who had like their father had a heart attack, and like, I don't know why I'm smiling while I say this. You know how I am. And he like very unexpectedly died. And she was like, you're so lucky because like you have the time to like say goodbye. And I'm like, I don't think either situation, like neither is good.
No.
You
want
so like, to like that Abby
decline. No one wants to see that either.
Right. Like a long goodbye is really bad. No goodbye is just as bad.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, like I don't think that I'm luckier. Like actually,
I think
I would argue that it's worse, honestly. But yeah, I like love that. I was like, I had to highlight it immediately. I was like, that really just like very much hit. I really think she just like did a really good job, took a lot of care with like that whole aspect.
Agreed. I also really like that when it ended, the mom wasn't in a home yet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know where she's at. Like, you know, it's insinuated it's not getting better, but she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy that that's how it ended.
Yeah. Same. I know people really hated the epilogue. They're like, oh, it was like such like a nice bow on like this like more like sad story. Like her mom's still alive, which like I know people were going to say is like a good thing, but like I don't think it is, to be honest, just knowing what I know. And how like Xavier like happened to just like not have to sell the clinic, and he. And again, like, I did think it was silly that he doesn't sell it, and then he, like, gets, like, another loan to open a new one in California. Like, he just put himself in more debt. But you know what? YOLO.
What are you gonna do? Right?
Whatever.
Like,
I was like, I don't want it to be, like, I don't want the epilogue to be, like, everything's bad.
At the end of the day, she wanted a happy ending. She delivered. And I do think it's, she's answering questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't have an epilogue, people would be like, well, what happened with the clinic? What's going on with the animals? Like, who's taking care of who? Is Hank still working? Like,
yeah.
I think she just tried to wrap it up. And I don't think it was rushed. I just think that that's... I can't even fault her for that either, because at the end of the day, you do want everything to be happy for people. So, like,
yeah.
So
and again, like,
harm, you know?
I'm not gonna... Like, an epilogue is a bonus for me. Like, if it's good, it's good. If it's... like stupid, like I don't count it as part of the book.
Same. Like to me that like I'm when I'm reading the story, I'm not reading mm-hmm. the 10 page epilogue that I'm getting, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't appeal. Like I don't know.
No, because there's so many epilogues and I'm like, this is so stupid.
I know.
And I just forget about them. So I was like, if you don't like the epilogue, I get it, but like that
let it go.
I thought it was funny the whole like, would you still want me if I was a worm? Because like I have these conversations with Gil like every night in bed, and I just thought like his answer was cute when he was like, you know, he's like, I would have like a little plant and I would put you like in the flower pot and put you on the windowsill. It was just like most men are just like, no.
Like, what are you talking about? I liked the fertility conversation they had. Like, would you still want to be with me if I couldn't have a baby? And he's like, what the fuck? Like, I think, again, I think we're trending towards real life situations where, again, mm-hmm. a lot of our generation, we're more talkative now than ever before about the complications of getting pregnant. But I do think we're older. We've all been on birth control for 10 million years. Like, there's so much hormones put into our food. Like, so there's a lot of stuff around fertility. Like, and what, you and I both have had fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, like more people than you,
me, no.
But I feel like the more you talk to people, the more you're like, oh yeah, like I'm an IVF mama too, or we had to adopt, or surrogate.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I just think it is nice to bring lights to situations that a lot of people are dealing with.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, they're in their late 20s too. So I think like just having that conversation is like very normal and like a natural thing to ask and kind of wonder about, like, do you want kids? And if so, like, if we can't have them, like, what does that mean for you?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there was like so much good. If I just think if she just, if the beginning, if the first 10 chapters, like the dating sequence, if that just was a little different, I think people wouldn't have an issue. I really think it's the same thing where it's just like, it was too much too quick. And then it was hard to like get, like, it was hard to buy in until we got to a certain point.
Yes. Yes. Cause like the minute, I kid you not, T, like, I can tell you exactly on my run where I was at, where I was like, we hit the 1 year mark on the relationship. And again, I've always enjoyed the family aspect of it throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
But like the minute I hit that 1 year, I was like, I like this. Like I'm in it now. Like I'm here for it. Like I definitely wouldn't give it a 2 or 2.5. That to me is like, we're treading on shit. This isn't shit. This was good. I really just did not buy the relationship at first. Like,
I'll say if she would have just changed the first 10 chapters and had them like dating, whirlwind 2 week romance, like them thinking it's just going to be like a little like fuck buddy situation before she leaves. And then they're like, no shit, we caught feelings.
Yeah.
I would have been like, okay.
Done. Sold. Got it.
Yeah.
Four and a half stars. Like, but this like, it took me out. I don't know.
I get it. Really, I'm like reading all the quotes again and like the dad really broke my heart. Wait, hold on. I have to read it. He's like, I love my wife. I always will. There are days I'd rather be dead than have to live through the things happening to her. Her body might still be here, but she's gone and she has been for a very long time. I'm a full-time caregiver to someone who barely even knows my name. So I will not apologize for what I have to do to make it so I can wake up in the morning to the reality I'm forced to endure.
Yeah.
My life is a permanent, intolerable unhappiness, and I pray you never know what that's like. And then Tristan has the gall to be like, fuck you, dad.
Yeah.
Because dad wants to go out, and he wants to get busy with some nice ladies once in a while. And he deserves it.
And you know what? Even if it's a simple, like, just going on a date, or if it's more, at that point in time, yes, she's physically she's there.
Yeah.
And again, I can't say what I would do in that situation. I've never been in such a situation, but like.
We kept telling my mom that my mom still has not gone on a date because she's just like, why would I want to take care of another man? She's like living her best life.
I get that too.
But we were like, when my dad was like really bad and he was like immobile and nonverbal, whatever, we were like, you know, like if you get asked out, like we wouldn't care. Like dad wouldn't care either. Dad doesn't want you to sit here.
Yeah.
Like they had like the most vibrant social life. I'm like, he would be, trust me, like,
he gets it.
And she was just like uninterested, but my brother and I like let her know it would be okay if like that's if she wanted to get out there.
You guys, like, you guys obviously had this conversation, and even if one felt the other way, but like to let your mom know, like, because sometimes I can only imagine from a parent standpoint, like, you don't want to also, like, in the midst of all that's going on where you're losing a family member,
mm-hmm.
and watching them deteriorate, which in itself is so cruel, like to have her almost make you more upset by doing something. Like, it's great that you guys had the forethought to have that conversation.
Yeah, because I think, like, especially with this disease, like in general, it's not like, I'm not comparing how, you know, whatever, but we like said that we were like, oh, like it would be just as horrible to watch him, you know, slowly die of cancer, but at least you can have a conversation with the person.
Yeah.
We're in like this situation, like the mom, her body's there, but her mind isn't. So even though she's physically still alive, it's not the same person that you knew. So you can't even have those like heartfelt like conversations or like that final goodbye with that person because they don't know who you are, who they are. So like, I just like wouldn't blame the dad like at all. Like if he needed to like get out there, just like for peace of mind and to feel like a human himself and not just this person who's solely alive to keep somebody else alive.
Yeah. Like he said it perfectly. Like he's locked in this like awful.
It's a jail. It's a more, obviously dementia is obviously like a prison for the person who has it. But I think it's honestly more of a prison for the family members because the person who has it doesn't really understand that they have it. But the family members obviously do and are the most affected by it. So I was like, I was getting like heated. I was getting heated when the dad was, nobody was understanding him. I was like, no, like he needs this.
Yeah.
I feel like, let him go on a date.
I feel like the sister was like very much middle ground. Like
Yeah, she was very neutral about very everything. Very neutral.
Like, she also had her own baggage to deal with. Like, she was a single mom. Like, she just, like, she even said, like, I'm paying on this, like, remodel and I have kids. Like, what was I even thinking? Like,
yeah.
I want my mom to stay home. But again, I don't think she also understands the gravity of the situation. She understands, but again, she has children to think about in this. And, like,
yes.
I think it's extremely I don't even know if that's the right word, but, like, I think if I, like, the dad, I feel like if I was in his brain, probably took a look at the situation and was like, I'm not going to subject my children to this. I'm going to take on the absolute burden.
Yeah.
And if this was my child, like, to the grandma, like, makes sense for her to do that as well, right? Like, she's going to take care of her daughter to, like, the very end. And, like,
yeah.
I wouldn't flip this on my children either. But at the same time, too, like, they don't understand the gravity because I'm harboring all this. And I get what the girls are saying, like, share the, you know, share it. But, like, at the same time, too, like, as a parent, that's your job, no matter how old your children are to, like, protect. Like, if Leah is 35 and Liam is 34 and my, like, me or Tom are sick, like, I'm not going to be like, I need you to step up. Like, no, I'm going to do what I need to do. Tom's going to do what he needs to do. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's great that they do end up turning around to him, like, hey, we will do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But, like, so, like, I'm with you. Like, Tristan, I just want to be like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, again, I've been in this situation, but, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, you look at the parent, you're like, I get what you're doing. Like, I get why,
like,
you didn't ask for help. Like,
yeah. And I get grieving, right? Like, I can almost understand Tristan, like, knee jerk reaction because, like, you're grieving your parent. But then he, like, did, like, weeks, months, he, like, didn't talk to his dad about it. And I was like, okay, like, that's, like, a little too much. Like, I understand, like, your knee jerk reaction to, like, your dad being like, I'm kind of, like, done being, like, the sole caregiver. Like, I don't want to do this, but if I have to put her in a home, I will.
Yeah.
I like the conversation too about, like, the cost of it, because it literally, like, will bankrupt families and, like, put them into debt. And there really is, like, no help, which is just, like, crazy. And, like, why the healthcare system sucks, because, like, people, this, like, this woman, like, literally needed 24/7 care.
Yeah.
And you really can't afford it. Like,
and again, like Tristan was saying, the places you can afford, do you really want to send your person to?
No.
That sucks.
Yeah. It does. So, and, like, yeah, like, the live-in nurses.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it almost was a good thing she lost her job. I mean, sucks for Samantha to, like, lose something that you actually are passionate about. Like, that fucking blows. But it was almost.
Yeah.
I don't think Sam thinks of it as this way, you know, nickname basis. But, like, you're now the sole caregiver. Not the sole, but, like, you are full-time caregiving.
Primary.
With your father. I don't know. It just. That fucking blows.
It does. I think that this should have just been marketed differently too. Like, I think, like, a big rom-com. Issue.
Oh my God. The fact that this was marketed as a rom-com. Can we talk
rom-com, Grumpy Sunshine. I'm like, Xavier's not grumpy. He's grumpy in the beginning, and then he's introverted, and he's like a little bit more, like, quiet and I don't even think he's quiet. He's more reserved.
Yeah.
But he's like literally, like, the last person anybody would call an asshole.
He jumps into a fucking lake. Can we talk about that again?
Okay, first of all, he saves animals.
Yes.
He jumps into a lake. He literally works, like, 7 days a week.
Just to,
like,
see his girlfriend.
Just so that he can, for 2 days, fly to see his girlfriend. Like, he's literally, like, too good. Like, I was almost, like, waiting. I was like, okay, like, where are the flaws? Like, there should be at least one.
But again, like, that's not grumpy. Like, he was abused as a child, mentally and physically. Like, he went through some shit. He turned himself around. I would assume one would be a little bit more reserved. You are going to be a bit more skeptical of people around you. Like, at the end of the day, you are going into protection mode.
Yeah.
That's not grumpy. And again, the rom-com thing.
Yeah, this is her most traumatic book. Yeah. This is her least rom-commy book.
I don't even think you have. There's no open door sex scenes. You know that they're doing something, but it is.
She never does open door, but. Yeah,
true, but I feel like you get a little bit more detail about, like, I don't know. I feel like there's normally more, unless the heaviness of the book just kind of clouded that for me. But, like, I remember being like, this isn't, what are we doing?
No, yeah. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know, girl.
Girl, I don't know either. yeah, no, this was, if I was going to market this, it would be I also saw somebody say this was forced proximity. And I'm like, bitch, it was forced proximity for 12 hours when they were stuck in the escape room overnight. If anything, they literally were barely together. It was long distance. How are you saying this is forced proximity? I was just taken aback by that. You know, this was definitely more like lit fic with a romance subplot. Heavy on the trauma. Because we didn't even touch on Xavier's like abusive childhood, and his narcissistic parents who deserve death. But yeah, like there was just everybody had trauma.
I almost would have rather, again, maybe having that relationship sub. Almost, I'm envisioning like the Wedding People with that kind of a, I don't even know if you want to call it a relationship subplot. Like, you don't really, it's left like open-ended. Like, I would have even been okay if they were just friends. And like, this was the lifeline to each other. They're both dealing and navigating some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been okay with that. Again, romance could be there also. I just really, I don't know, I feel like she botched it so bad that it really has overshadowed, I think, the amazingness that she wrote for the rest of the book. Maybe shame on me, but like, that's just how I feel.
No, you know what? There are certain opinions that I will say you're not valid. Like people who say that,
what's up?
Like, yeah, I'll be like, nope, you're wrong. This is for anybody who still believes that Bryce and Hunt aren't mates, even though they are, and their series is over. Those people, I will say, you're a moron, and I will stand by that, and I will defend that, whatever. But you being like, oh, I didn't buy the romance in this book, I'd be like, no, I get it. Like, did I like it? Yes, but I completely understand people's complaints with this book.
And that's why I won't give it under a 3-star, because I really did like the family aspect of it. I think she, like, I'll say it 10 more times if I have to. Like, she nailed that.
Anything under 3 stars to me is like, I would never recommend anybody read this, and I will make it my hating it my entire personality.
I would recommend this. It's just, but I would also give the disclaimer of, hey, this was good. Mm-hmm. I did not buy the romance, just an FYI, but I think like my boss is a huge reader. Like, she loves to ping and be like, okay, what do you think about this? Have you read this? What about that? Like, and she knows we do this. So she's like, what, like, she'll even be like, does T like it all? She read Butcher and Blackbird. So she's like, this is like all murder. I'm like, yeah, no, it's awful. It's, it's like, if you don't like this, I actually think you would like book 3 of the series, just as an FYI, because it focuses a little more on the romance. But
my mom's favorite was the 3rd, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, she was like, oh, Fionn. Like, she's like, she's started recommending it to some of her friends. Oh, so
her.
I know.
Doing the Lord's work, or like referring friends with this book. I love it. But that's like, if she asked me, like, what do you think about this? Because I could see her coming with this. I'd be like, look, it's a good read. Family aspect, amazing. I did not buy the romance. That would be like my exact reference for it.
And listen, that's fine. I support it. I support your take on it.
Thanks, girl.
And I understand it. Even though I didn't mind it, like, I get it. Like, that's the thing too. Like, I really do get people who like aren't happy about it.
Same.
I am really curious to see what she has next for us. Like, and that's the thing too. I think, like, if you didn't like this, but you liked everything else, let it deter you from not reading her next book. Like,
I'm going to keep going on the Abby Jimenez train.
I do have one more complaint.
Ooh, do it.
Okay, so Abby Jimenez, she just, like, has, like, a crazy, like, life. Like, her daughter is, like, some, like, musical prodigy. She was on Cupcake Wars, whatever, but she owns Nadia Cakes, which she went on Cupcake Wars for. And so she has like a cake baking business or whatever. And she mentions it. It's in every book. She brings up her bakery.
Yes.
And I don't know why. Like, it really pisses me off. The Rezand thing really made me cringe. And then she was like, oh, and like, I want my favorite like cupcake from Nadia Cakes. And I'm like, okay, bitch, like, okay, we fucking get it. We get it. You bake too. Okay.
I shut the fuck up, bitch.
I don't need the reminder. I don't know why, like, it really bothered me. And then one thing that I know that she definitely took a note on after Just for the Summer, because people were like going off about how bad the outfit descriptions were just for the summer. And she even, Abby was like, I just think I just need to stop describing what people are wearing. And I noticed in this book that any outfit description was like very generic, or like she was just like, oh, I'm in a dress. Like it, there wasn't like any, which you know that I pick up on that stuff. So I was like, okay, so I do, I give it to her. I'll give it to her that she definitely took notes about the bad outfits.
Well, thank God, because I'm with you. Again, older millennial, I don't get it. Like, it's always terrible outfits. But I'm with you. Like, I don't need to know what she's wearing head to toe. Just give me, like, she's wearing a dress. Let me in.
I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, I just don't need, in a fantasy book, I get it. I want to know what your ball gowns look like. I want to know that you're wearing, like, breeches and a tunic versus whatever. Yes. But yes, in a romance, like, unless it's Magnolia Parks and there's, like, actual fashion happening, I just don't need it. I don't need it. Next week we are going to be reviewing Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe, which Katie's on like read number three, I think.
On the second reread. It's,
you know, oh, second reread.
Okay. Love at First Sighting is, I like it better than Love and Other Conspiracies. This is her first book, but I do think she did really well with her first book.
Okay. So I'm gonna read that. I haven't read it yet. I'm gonna read it this week. Following that, we have a Spilling the Tea episode. So, okay, wait, what's today? Say the 7th. Okay, so the 16th is Love and Other Conspiracies. The 23rd is Spilling the Tea. And then the 30th is Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. And I'm just, like, so excited to get that, like, in my hands. And I've said this about Emily Henry books before. I never request arcs of her books because I like going to Barnes & Noble the morning it comes out and picking it up and like reading it with everybody else. Any other book I like request and I want it in my hand, something about Emily Henry, I'm like, no, I want to experience this on release day. I have heard mixed reviews about this one and I don't really care. I think if you didn't like it, you're wrong. And that I will stand by.
And that is that.
So I got nothing else. Katie Jean, do you have anything more that you need to get off your chest?
I think our listeners know my feelings.
Well, in that case, Katie, can you please send us out?
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.